So you might like to take out your Bibles this morning, and we are going to be heading to John's Gospel, chapter 17. While you turn there, I'm going to pray, and we'll see what the Lord wants to do. Thank you, Father, for a morning already, for an opportunity to worship and turn our attention to you, to partake of communion and just remember and proclaim the work, the finished work of the cross, your death and your resurrection, Jesus. And thank you now that we can open up your holy word. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that your word this morning would cut through the noise, would settle and rest upon our hearts. God, you would give us ears to hear. You give us eyes to see what you would desire to say to us today. Holy Spirit, breathe life to these words that I speak. I ask for your help, and I ask that you'd be honored and glorified in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 17 is where we're heading. Well, this year is in fact the 30-year anniversary of the release of the Disney classic, The Lion King. 30 years. I remember when it came out when I was a kid and there was merchandise everywhere. It was kind of all the rage. Now, it had been some years since I've watched that film, but recently we had a family holiday, and we set aside an afternoon. We had a family movie afternoon watching The Lion King, introducing our youngest to the movie. And it had been a while, but it was enjoyable. It's a great story. There's wonderful songs, and it's an incredible soundtrack as well. I'm sure that many of us are familiar with kind of the theme of the story. If you're not, maybe after 30 years it might be time to maybe have a watch of that. But the kind of the main gist of the story is Simba, the main lion who should be king, has been set up and lied to by his evil uncle Scar, and basically ran away from the Pride Lands. And he kind of teamed up with his buddies Timon and Pumbaa, some outcasts as well. And so Simba, this lion who should be king, is living the kind of comfortable life, the Hakuna Matata, no worries kind of life. And then there's this scene where his childhood friend, Nala the lioness, returns, or she comes to beyond the borders of her own pride lands looking for food because the land has been decimated. And she comes and it becomes apparent that Simba has forgotten who he is. It becomes clear that he'd forgotten whose he is. And it became clear that he'd forgotten the call, I guess, or the need of his particular pride. And then there's this poignant scene, and Mufasa, who was his father, appears to him in a vision, because we're in church, and he says, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. And so, of course, he kind of, his heart's awakened and he returns and he kind of overthrows the evil and it all ends happily ever after. Now, whether you're a fan of this movie or not, perhaps there's something in this for us as God's people, both individually but also corporately as his church. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember how he has called us to live. And remember that there is a world in need all around us. And so this morning we're beginning a new series following on from our study through Hebrews, which was, I found, fantastic. I thought Andrew did an amazing job bringing out so much rich theology there through the book of Hebrews. But that series very much focused on and emphasized the centrality of Jesus. And so flowing on from there, with Jesus at the center and in response to who he is and all that he has done, how are we called to live in the cultural moment that we find ourselves in? What does it look like to live faithfully to the way of Jesus in a world that seems increasingly dark, increasingly hostile, and aggressively seeking to shape and form us into its own likeness and its own ways? So we've kind of maybe landed on a name for this series. We'll see if it sticks, but I'm kicking it off this morning. So I've called it Living the Jesus Way. Living the Jesus Way. And really the call of the gospel, the core of what it means to follow Jesus is to shine the light of Christ. It's to be a people set apart, living in the world but not of the world. It's to remember who we are, whose we are, who we belong to, and remember the mission that is before us. Like the disciples in the early church, we read in Acts chapter 17, I believe, it says that they were known as ones who turned the world upside down. May we too be found to be living the Jesus way and so have an impact for his kingdom and glory so that he would be seen, that he would be known, that he would be honored and glorified. So we're going to read out of John chapter 17, just a few verses here. This is a well-known passage of scripture in my Bible anyway. It's titled The High Priestly Prayer. It records the words of Jesus, our great high priest, that he prayed just prior to his betrayal, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, where he gave up his life on the cross. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13 of John 17. In the early part of the passage, he's praying for to the Father. The Father would be glorified, that he would be glorified having accomplished the work that the Father gave Jesus to do. He's prayed for unity. He's prayed for the disciples. He will go on to pray for all those who would come to believe. But here in verse 13, we read this, that Jesus says, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. You know, these words of Jesus that we've read reveal some important things for us to take note of today. And you know, if this is what Jesus was praying for his followers just prior to his arrest and death on the cross, I kind of think that we should pay attention to what he was praying, to what he was saying. And so from these few verses that we've read this morning has come a phrase that I'm sure that many of us have heard and become familiar with. It's this phrase, in the world but not of it. And I'm on board with this phrase. I love this phrase. I love just reflecting on and thinking about what it looks like to live our lives as followers of Jesus, how we're called to live out our lives of faith in the midst of this world. But this phrase perhaps has come a little bit of a cliche. It's kind of something that we just say without really examining or looking closely at. So what does it mean? What was Jesus getting at when he prayed that we're not of this world? And so in reflecting on this passage, what if we revisited this particular phrase? What if we revisited this concept of being in the world but not of it? What if we re-examine this passage to try and grasp the heart and the meaning of what Jesus was praying for his followers? What his vision was for those who would follow him? What his vision was. Is it merely just to be in the world but not of it, or is there something more for us to see? If we think about this particular phrase, in the world but not of it, if that's our starting point, in the world, I don't know about you, but it's a bit of a sigh associated with, in the world. Because if we look around us, maybe that can be pretty disheartening. Because there is pain, there is brokenness, there is darkness, there is suffering, there is despair all around us. If that's our reference or starting point, it can perhaps create a feeling of, I've just got to grip my teeth. Just got to hang on. I've just got to kind of repel and resist all that's bad and just try and hang on and hopefully scrape over the line into heaven. It doesn't sound all that much like the vision of life and life abundantly that Jesus came to bring. There is more for us as we examine this passage, as we kind of reflect on this phrase that has come from this passage. There is a redemptive purpose, which is the joy of living Jesus' way. And so the starting point, or what I want us to see in this part of Jesus' prayer and what I want to exhort us in as we seek to live the Jesus way, first of all this morning, living the Jesus way means that we are not of this world. Jesus himself prays, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of this world. We are not of this world. Now, of this world means, in essence, partakers of this world, being part of this world, going along with the world, being one with the world, living in accordance with the standards, the values, the ways of this world. And I would say it's clear that many Christians have a desire to impact this world that we live in, to reach the world around us, yet our witness so often can be compromised and dampened as we seek, however lovingly, to kind of fit in with or go along with the world, rather than be living in stark contrast to it. As his people, as his church, we are called to be a light. Jesus himself, his vision of his church was that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There is a sense and a call for us needing to cut through the noise, to have an impact and an influence on the world around us. So are we living the Jesus way or some other way? You know, the enemy, and I feel this was really impressed on my heart this week, the enemy would love nothing more than for the people of God, those who say that they follow Jesus, to forget who they are and whose they are and to live of this world. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher and pastor, he said this, "I believe that one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church." Or G.K. Chesterton, he said this, "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." There is a call for us this morning. Remember who we are. Remember whose we are. Remember the call that we have been given. Remember the vision that Jesus had and has for his people and for his church. So to be clear, this morning, this is what I'm talking about. One commentary defines it as human society organizing itself without God. Of course, if you remove God from the equation, if there's no absolute, if there's no one to lead or guide us, well then humanity will lead and guide itself. Anything goes. And I dare say that that hasn't worked very well. Or author and pastor John Mark Comer puts it this way, that much of what we call culture, Jesus and the New Testament writers call the world, a system of ideas, values, practices, and social norms that are institutionalized into a culture that is organized around rebellion against God and his ways. To be of the world is to be living and speaking in accordance with the world's character and mode of thinking. It's to be living consistent with the world's values and priorities, which are by nature in rebellion against and contrary to God's ways and values and priorities. Jesus' heart and vision and prayer is that we, his followers, would not be of this world. That the values of a follower of Jesus are different from the values of the world. That the standards of a follower of Jesus are different from the standards of this world. That the priorities of a follower of Jesus are different from the priorities of this world. Are we as his people, are we resisting the overtures of the world? Or are there areas where we've been caught up in the tide and swept along in the current? In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, you know, that we're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Not to be conformed to the pattern and ways and likeness of this world, but to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And I sometimes think of it like this, and as a pastor, as the one who, I guess, oversees the youth ministry as well, and seeing just the stuff that's coming against young people today, seeking to conform a generation into the likeness of the things of this world. But when I was growing up, I grew up in Sydney. And of course, Sydney hosted the 2000 Olympic Games. And in the lead up to the Olympics, of course, they were building all the different venues and facilities. And one of those was, of course, the Aquatic Centre, the International Aquatic Centre there in Homebush. And I remember going there as a kid a number of times. And in the particular fun part, so not the Olympic pool, but the fun part of the Aquatic Centre, there was this great, like a whirlpool, you know, a tidal pool where you could just, it's like a semicircle, and there's strong jets that are pushing the water a certain way. So all you have to do is get in one side and you just kind of float, and you get taken down, caught up in the current around the other side, and then you go and do it again. I used to love that. It was great. But what I used to like to do is, at times, kind of stand firm against the current, try and swim the opposite direction, try and walk against this strong current that was seeking to push me one way. And I kind of have always thought of it, Romans 12 and this idea of not being of the world, kind of like that. It's easy just to get caught up in the current. It's easy just to get swept downstream. That's what the world seeks to do to us, to conform it to its way and its pattern, to just sweep us along in the tide. But it's harder to go against the tide, to stand firm, swim against it. But you know, there is joy in battling against the storm and struggling against the tide. It is by facing the hostility of the world and resisting it and standing firm against it that we enter into the joy of Christ. A pastor and author by the name of John Tyson, he says this, that the joy and satisfaction that comes from being faithful to Christ will always be richer than the mere ease that comes from drifting along the cultural currents. This morning, remember who we are. Remember that we are not of this world. And so if we're not of this world, how then are we to live in this world, as that is where we find ourselves? The second thing I want to encourage us in this morning, bring out from the passage, is that living the Jesus way is to live sanctified, consecrated, and set apart. In Barclay's New Testament commentary, he writes, however much it may be true that the Christian is not of this world, it still remains true that it is within the world that his Christianity must be lived out. Jesus prays for his followers here. He says, sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. His heart for us is that we would be sanctified. Think about that for a moment. And this prayer is not just some nice sentiment, some prayer for a distance, some well-meaning kind of well wishes. He modeled perfectly what it means to be sanctified, to be set apart for holy service to God. He consecrated himself to the Father's purposes and plans, surrendering to death, even death on a cross. There was nothing half-hearted about Jesus' consecration to the Father for our sake. In the midst of this world, in the midst of all that is going on around us, we're not called just to kind of go into hiding or withdraw in isolation or keep our head in the sand Jesus didn't pray that we would escape, that we would have the easy or comfortable option. He prayed, no, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He prayed that we would be kept, that we would find victory, and that we might be sanctified. This word sanctified, it means to make holy, it means to be set apart, to consecrate, to dedicate, to be different. It is something that is different than the ordinary run of things, something set apart, something entirely dedicated to. And this idea of being consecrated or set apart or sanctified is perhaps not all that common to talk about or think about these days. However, if we look around us, we can see it plays out in so many different places. I don't know, perhaps some of you have been enjoying watching the Olympics. I certainly have. And I've always enjoyed the Olympics. For many of these athletes, it's the pinnacle of the sport. There's something special about it. It's only once every 4 years. But I look at these athletes and the way that they go about it, the way they've prepared and planned and trained and sacrificed. You know, these athletes, they have consecrated themselves to their sport. They have dedicated themselves to their athletic pursuits. They have set themselves apart for this goal, to make the Olympics, to win a gold medal, whatever it might be. They live differently, right? The normal run-of-the-mill going along with everyone else just won't do. Why? Because they're set apart for something greater. While their friends are sleeping in the morning, they have consecrated themselves. They have set themselves apart to be up at whatever sort of hour it is, something far earlier than most of us probably raise, to go to the pool and swim, to go to the gym and train, to do whatever it is. They've set themselves apart for that one thing. While their, you know, other friends or family might enjoy some ice cream for dessert, some fast food every now and then. No, they've set themselves apart. They've set their bodies apart for a specific purpose, to win the gold medal. They are different. They're setting themselves apart for that gold medal, for that goal, that prize that they are seeking. And you know, for these athletes, if you've been watching over the last week or so, when that gold medal is won and they get interviewed afterwards, there is a joy that comes, isn't there? There is a joy when they realize all the sacrifice, all the training, all the hard work has paid off. I've never seen one athlete after winning the gold medal get up and going, you know what? It was a bit of a waste of time, actually. I should have just kind of lived however I wanted and it would have been fun. No, there is a joy that comes from that life of being set apart and different and consecrating themselves to their chosen sport. There is a joy that comes. There is a realization, I'm so glad that I paid the price. I'm so glad that I dedicated myself, because they receive the prize. It's not just Olympic athletes. People in their work consecrate themselves to their work. People with money set themselves apart to pursue the pursuit of money or whatever else it is. If athletes can live different, if athletes can set themselves apart for an earthly crown that would fade, how much more is there a call for us as the people of God to live set apart? To hear and respond to Jesus' prayer for us that we would be sanctified, that we would be set apart, consecrated, and live differently. And so, I want to just make mention this morning, so often we hear this idea of being set apart, being sanctified, being made holy, being consecrated, whatever it might be. And so often we can think, okay, well that means moral standards plus willpower equals sanctification, being set apart, being holy. Well, there's an element where God does His work in us to sanctify us, and we also do our part as well. Let me explain what I mean. We're sanctified by the Word of God. Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. We're sanctified by the Word of God as it nourishes and feeds our souls, as we come to see truth as the truth of His Word gets in here and here. We're sanctified by the Word of God, and we're sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. But it's also as we live surrendered before the Lord, and as we live in response to the love and the mercy and grace that we have received from Him. What else could we do? What else could we do? How else could we live but in response to what Christ has done? But to surrender and allow Him to come and be at work and sanctify and set us apart. We're not to be conformed to the likeness of this world, but to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, to live the Jesus way. This is His heart, and this is His passion, and what comes through in His high priestly prayer. Sanctify them, Father. May they be set apart for You. May they live differently. May their lives be consecrated unto You. May they not just blend in. May they not just fit in with the crowd, Father. Sanctify them. May our lives be set apart for Him. May, just like the athlete dedicates themselves, consecrates themselves in the pursuit of that one thing, may our lives, by the power of the Spirit, be dedicated and consecrated to Him, to that one thing. If living the Jesus way means we are not of this world, if it means that we're sanctified, set apart, consecrated to the Lord, to live lives that are different, this is unto something. There is a purpose in all this. And the third thing I want to just leave us with today is this, that living the Jesus way is to be sent on mission. It's to be not of this world, it's to be sanctified and set apart, but it's to be sent on mission, sent into the world. Jesus reveals His heart for His followers. It's to be sent into the world. Verse 18, He says, "As You sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Again, He is our standard and our model. He has been sent into the world. He modeled the Father's heart and love and kingdom and all those things to the world around us. And so in turn, He sends us as His followers into the world around us. God so loved the world that He gave. There is a lost and broken world. There is a world in need of a people set apart, a people willing to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13-16, you can turn there, maybe we can bring it up on the screen. I won't linger here too much because we'll be delving into this more next week. But Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that You are the salt of the earth and You are the light of the world. Light is not meant to be hidden away. The same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. There's this call upon us to be salt and light. And as we'll be looking more next week, but hopefully to kind of set things up a little bit this week, our mission, our purpose is to be salt and light in the midst of this world so that they may see your good deeds. They may see there is something different about a sanctified life set apart for the Lord and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. In the at times mundaneness of day-to-day life, perhaps we can forget or lose sight of this call or this privilege that we have been sent, that we are on a mission. We know that He has promised never to leave nor forsake us, so we can go with confidence. And much of this being sent on mission is accomplished in the ordinariness of life. We can think that being on mission or being salt and light kind of needs to be dramatic or exciting or fill up the highlights reel. when in reality, the world to whom that we are sent means people found in the everyday routines of life. Our families, our neighbors, our work colleagues, our friends. But it is before them that our lives are on display. I want to encourage you this morning as we consider this prayer that Jesus prayed. We're not of the world. We're to be sanctified and set apart. And that we're sent on mission in the world around us. That means that wherever we might find ourselves, whatever phase or stage of life, there is a call for us that we've been sent by God. If you're studying at school or at university, you're on mission, sent by God into that place to be salt and light, to shine for Him. If you're a teacher, you're on mission in that place, sent by God to be salt and light. If you're in the public service, you're on mission in that place, sent by God to be salt and light. If you're flipping burgers, you're on mission there, sent by God into that place to be salt and light. There'll be people that come across your path that you can encourage and point towards the Lord Jesus. If you're retired, you're on mission, sent by God to the situations and circumstances that you're in, the people that you come across. If you're at home looking after children, you're on mission there, sent by God into that place to be salt and light. Not just to fit in, not just to be swept up in the tide of culture and what is seeking to shape us, what it is seeking to shape us into. Not just to go along with the crowd, but rather to live the Jesus way in whatever sphere of influence we may have. What a call and what a privilege we have. Sometimes it feels as though the weight of the world can weigh heavily on us. Sometimes it can feel disheartening. What's the point? But this morning, let me encourage us as God's people. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember the call. Remember the need. Remember the vision in Jesus' heart for His followers. For we are called to live the Jesus way, to not just have the centrality of Jesus as a theoretical principle or ideal, but to live in light of who He is and the reality of all that He has done. So as we embark on this new sermon series, may we remember the heart and desire of Jesus, that living His way means that as His people, we're not of the world. We're not defined by the world. We're not called to be partakers of the world, caught up in the tide of its values and standards. That as His people, we're called to be different, to be set apart, to be consecrated unto, to be sanctified in His truth through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our surrender unto the Lord. And may we remember that as His people, we are on mission, that we're sent into the world that God so loves to shine His light and His truth and His grace, to be His hands and feet, as the saying goes, to the world around us. Jeanette, could I invite you just to come up? Thank you. May there be something different about our lives this week and next week and the week after that. May there be something different about our lives. May we remember that we are not of this world, but rather we are sent into it as consecrated vessels, carrying His light and His truth. We are not of this world, but rather sent into it for His glory. Can I invite you to stand this morning and finish up our time together? I want to give us an opportunity to respond to this prayer of Jesus that we've looked at in John 17. Recently, a we had the opportunity, some of us here anyway, from church to go along. There was a 24/7 prayer gathering in Canberra about a month or so ago, and they hosted some visitors, some guests from the Asprey University, the awakening, the outpouring of God's Spirit there that happened at the start of last year. And in some of the things that they were sharing, and there was a particular book there that they had made available, which I read recently while I was away on some holiday leave. Really encouraging. But they talked a lot there at the gathering and in the book as well about this idea of consecration. And what was happening as the Spirit of God was moving, as people were flocking to this small town in the U.S., and worship was just happening, the presence of God was just so evident in that place. And it was very simple, just kind of like maybe a guitar, keys, maybe a cajon or something, and just worship was just, there was a sweetness to it. There was just a touch of the Lord upon it. And what they had established there was a consecration room. Consecration room just to the side of the stage. And basically how that worked was that before anyone got up on the platform, before anyone got up to lead worship or to pray or minister, they spent time in the consecration room, basically just coming before the Lord and offering themselves, surrendering afresh, laying down the pride and the ego, and bringing before the Lord anything, any issues of sin or anything like that. Because they wanted to go out there completely set apart, dedicated to, sanctified, to be the Lord's vessels in that particular moment. And you know, this revival had well-known Christian celebrities, well-known worship leaders who came thinking they could maybe help out a little bit. And they said, oh, look, how about you just receive? How about you just receive? Because there was a purity about what the Lord was doing. But that idea of consecration room, or being consecrated, being set apart, that resonated with me. I was like, that is cool. That is something different than kind of everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill things in our day and age. And so this morning, I want to give opportunity to respond in these ways. And prayer team, can I invite you to come forward at this point? There's always an opportunity for prayer, whatever the need. I just encourage you to avail yourself of that this morning. But specifically today, just by way of responding to this prayer of Jesus, perhaps you're here today, and as we've been talking about, that our call is not to be of the world. Maybe there are particular areas in your life that you've perhaps sensed the Holy Spirit just shining light upon, or the Lord putting His finger on this morning. Maybe you've felt Him do that already as you've been kind of living out your life. Where there are those things where perhaps you've just been going along, living in accordance with this world, there's an opportunity this morning to come before the Lord and bring those things before Him. Ask Him to cleanse you. Repent where that's needed. Bring them before the Lord. You know, when the Lord highlights things or puts His finger on things in our lives, it's never to shame us or embarrass us, but it's because He wants to bring His freedom. It's because He's so merciful. He wants those things to be cast aside so that we can step into greater freedom and a greater sense of His life, His purposes, all those things. So if that's, you're in that place today, I'd invite you, you could come and just do business with the Lord. You can kneel before Him. The altar's open at the front. Second thing is along the lines of Jesus' prayer, sanctify them. And I feel that maybe just want to give opportunity for those of us here this morning you just feel that stirring in your heart. You want to come before the Lord with that desire that He would sanctify, that He would consecrate, that your life would be set apart and different, dedicated and consecrated unto Him. You feel like, yeah, this is something I want to respond to the Lord in this morning. I want my life to be set apart, to be different, to be consecrated. I'd invite you to come, and you're welcome to kneel as well. You're welcome to get prayer, just by way of responding to the Lord. Or thirdly, just that area of mission, being sent. And you have such a desire to be salt and light, to be shining in the midst of the darkness, whether that's in your workplace, your school, your home, your community, wherever it is that you're like, Lord, I desire those opportunities, not just the opportunities, but Lord, to step into them. So that's the call this morning, the opportunity to respond. I'm going to pray, and then we'll see what the Lord wants to do. Father, we honor you. We give you thanks and praise for today. And Lord, I just pray for us as your people, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to not be of the world, Lord. God, we would live set apart, sanctified, consecrated for you. That we would know that we are sent on mission by you into the world that you so love. God, I pray that we would remember who we are and whose we are, that we would remember the call, and we would remember the vision that you have in your heart for your people, for your church, Lord. I just pray that you would be at work in our hearts, even this morning, stripping away those things that need to be removed, stirring afresh, Lord, our hearts where that needs to happen. May we go from here, Lord God, with a renewed sense of just hope and assurance that you're with us, Lord. May we go from here just aware of your presence, Lord God. But may we go, Lord God, mindful, God, mindful. There is a call you have given to us. And I pray that there would be opportunities this week to shine your light and your truth, to point people towards who you are, Lord God. May we be a people set apart, wholly surrendered. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.